Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Last week I preached a very simple message. During the message, I made two very simple yet very true statements. Number one, that God desires for all men to be saved. Is that true? God desires that all men will be saved. The second statement I made was this, that Satan desires to destroy all men because he hates God. Then I asked a very simple question. Where is the focus of the church? When we understand that God desires all men to be saved and Satan desires to destroy all men, we need to ask that question. Where then is the focus of the church? I showed you that each and every ministry, from Awana to the choir, should have one intent and one intent only, and that is for people to come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. That should be our focus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. Every dollar we spend should be spent with the focus on reaching people with the gospel of Christ. And church, we should all be comfortable talking to people about Jesus and leading them to accept Him as their Savior. We should. This week, I want to preach yet another very simple message. This is simple, and it's entitled, Being a Christian. Being a Christian. Now, I could have used many different scriptures this morning to point us into a direction I believe God wants us to go. But I believe God has directed me to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read, when we went through the book of Acts, we spent some time on this. We're going to read verse 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join the chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. Now he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before his shear, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, "I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about, himself or another person?" So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Did y'all notice that? Went down into the water. It didn't say Philip took a boat paddle and sprinkled him. Did y'all see that? They went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God carried Philip away, and the church did not see him any longer. The eunuch didn't see him any longer. Philip appeared in Azotus, and passing through, he was evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, this is your time. These are your people. Every person that's been gathered in this congregation this morning, you have brought here. They might think that they came on their own accord, God, but you brought them here. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with us in this time that we have to open your word. Lord, I pray that you'd wake us and shake us. Lord, you'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to be receptive to what you'd have us to hear. Let the word penetrate our hearts, that it would make us better people when we walk through these doors here in a few minutes. Let not this be idle time, that we wonder what we're going to do when we get out of here. Help us, Lord, to be focused on your word, because you're truly focused on us. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Title of the message again is this: Being a Christian. Being a Christian. Now, please hear me, church. I want to make a statement that I make quite often, especially on Wednesday night. Please hear me. It takes more than walking down the aisle of the church on Sunday morning, weeping and making a profession of faith to be a true Christian. Now, I want to say that again, because I don't think there's many. I want to make sure all y'all heard that. It takes more than walking down the center aisle, weeping over your sins, and making a public profession of faith to be a real Christian. It does. Being a real Christian costs you something. Well, hold on a second. I've heard my whole life that salvation is free. Yeah, it is a free gift, but once you're given that free gift, you'll want to pay for it for the rest of your life, at least try to. Can you? Absolutely not. But the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and you've got to do something. Making a profession of faith is the most very essential part of being a Christian, but it is not where the road ends. If that's where the road ends for you, you're not a true Christian. Let me say that again. If all you have done is walk down the aisle and made a profession of faith, put your hands up, tears roll down your eyes, and you've never, ever done anything else, you're not a true Christian. How can you say that? Well, I can say it with my head held high, because I'm going to qualify it with Scripture. I'm going to read James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14 says this: What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Did y'all hear that? Let me say it again. What good is it, brother, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have good works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? It's the same way, faith. If it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith with works. James isn't playing here, is he? He's serious about this thing. He says, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Brother Gary, I ought to say that again, shouldn't I? He says this, foolish man. So those of you who have walked the aisle, made a profession of faith, and done nothing with it since, James is saying, foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works. And his works, and by his works, faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead. Listen, for just as the body without the Spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't like where you're going with this message. It's not for me, for you to like where I'm going. This is what the Word of God says. Wake up, hey. Faith without works is dead. If God is not doing something in you daily, renewing something, exciting your heart to be faithful to something, your faith is dead. It's not alive. Brother Kyle, I don't like this. Do something about it. Please do something about it. Listen, being a Christian means that you are on the mission field. Yes, you are. I don't want to be. Then you're not a Christian. I don't like talking about Jesus. Then you're not a Christian. I don't like identifying with Jesus. You're not a Christian. It takes more than walking down an aisle and telling people you're a Christian to be a Christian. Listen, God placed you where you are. You are there to shine your light for Him. You are there to work for Him and His glory. You have been placed where you are. You have not been placed where you are just to smile at people and say, I'm a Christian, and God bless you. Because that's the extent of what most of us Christians do. I'm a Christian. God bless you. God bless you. And that's as far as we go. Well, we have nothing else to say. Listen, you are where you are that you might tell people how it is that Jesus and God have blessed you. That you are nothing, a nobody, and Jesus picked you up, cleaned you up, and made you who you are today and what you are today. Listen, in short, you are to be willing to tell the people in your world that Jesus transformed your life and that you would be absolutely nothing without Him. Do you know why you should be willing to do that? Because if Jesus would not have touched you and He would not have transformed your life, you would be absolutely nothing. Nothing. Your life would have no meaning. Your existence would be useless if Jesus hadn't transformed your life. So if that's the truth, why aren't you willing to tell the world? That's the question that I'm begging to answer. If Jesus transformed your life and you're living a transformed, renewed, revitalized life, why isn't it important enough for you to tell the world? Listen, you tell them everything else. You don't have a problem giving people a piece of your mind when they need a piece of your mind. Why do you have a problem giving people the truth, the answer to all existence? Jesus, don't you think it's odd that it's easy for you to just blow your stack and tell somebody all, but it's not easy for you to tell somebody about the greatest thing that ever happened to you? That's odd. That's strange. That just doesn't happen. Church, what does the life of a Christian look like? A true Christian, a real Christian. What does the life of a true Christian look like? I believe this morning's scripture can help us to understand what our lives look like if, listen, conditional statement, if we are where we ought to be in our walk with the Lord. Now let me say this again. I believe this morning's scripture can help us understand what our lives should look like if we were willing to walk with the Lord. If. Now, verse 26 tells us something amazing. And I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. Verse 26 tells us that Philip, a deacon. Thank you, gentlemen. Philip, a deacon. He was a deacon, turned evangelist, was sitting at home minding his own business when God sent an angel to speak to him. He said, get up and go to the south road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza. Well, you might be sitting here saying, well, you know, Brother Kyle, listen, if God were to send me an angel, I'd do anything the angel tells me to do. But God hasn't sent me an angel. Hey, listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian, He's given you something better than an angel. Hey, listen, an angel is a created being that was created with a purpose. You hear me? I've said this many times, but I've got to stop right here. Listen, when our loved ones die, they do not turn into angels. Oh, he's my angel. No, listen, an angel is a created being. We are human beings. When we die, our body goes to be with the Lord, or it goes to either Hades or, you know, in preparation to wind up in the lake of fire. Okay? Now, listen, an angel is a created being. God created each of us with a purpose. You know what that purpose and intent was? To be a vocalization of who He is. To tell the world about Jesus. Listen, verse 26 tells us something amazing. Philip was minding his own business. Has that ever happened to you? You're minding your own business? Church, when is my scheduled day off? When do I take off? Friday. Who said that? That's right, Vicky. Friday. I know. You know what I had planned to do this Friday? It ain't none of your business. Whatever I wanted to do. So I go home. I get done Thursday, and I get home, and Amy looks at me, and she said, "I love you." And I'm thinking, oh, gosh. How much is this going to cost me? She says, I want you to do something. And she asked me what she wanted me to do. And you know what my initial response was? No. 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 Because, I mean, Friday is my day off. Bob, I like to just sit back and do whatever I want to do. Now, I mean, a bush on the side of my house that was the size of a tree. I need to cut that thing down. My grass was looking, you know, shabby. We've got all that debris in our yard that, you know, I've got it cleaned up, but the city hadn't come by and cleaned it up. This Monday will be 3 weeks. I'm like, come on, man. But, you know, I wanted to, you know, do what I wanted to do on Friday. And I sat there for about an hour, hour and a half, and guess what I was thinking about? This message that I had just prepared. Philip was minding his own business when God interrupted him. I was minding my own business when my wife interrupted me. Philip, listen. I wasn't listening. But I did. There's some things that we can see here. Number one. When God interrupted Philip, when he sent that angel, Philip, listen to this, and church, I'm going to be honest with you. It probably made absolutely no sense to Philip. But Philip listened and did what he was told. Hold on, God. Hold on a second. You want me to get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza? Well, I'm familiar with that. I take a left out of the neighborhood, and I walk down the hill and past the fig tree, and I'll take that road for about 5 or 6 miles until where it comes together. The road comes out of Jerusalem and joins the Gaza. I know where it is. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Do we see Philip arguing? God, listen, I know you're God, and I know that you want me to do this because you sent an angel to do it, but God, it does not make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. But Philip, listen. Number two, church, did you notice that Philip didn't question God? Not a question. Didn't make sense, but he didn't question. Number three, did you notice that even though it did not make sense, that the directive was precise. It was precise. Listen to it again. Get up. That means he was sitting down. Get up. Go south to to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert. God, that's precise. He didn't tell them there was a stopping point. He said, just go. I'm going to fill you in. Listen, he followed the instructions and he went. Philip had no clue what God wanted until he got up off his bottom and went where God told him to go. Church, there are many of us here today who don't have a clue what it is that God wants us to do because we are not willing to listen to Him and go where He tells us to go and get up off our behinds. We've sat down for so long, we don't know how to get up anymore. We put our fingers in our ears and say that it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Listen to me. You are going to stand in front of a holy and a righteous God very, very soon. Very soon. And He's going to look at you and you're going to, I mean, it's going to pierce your soul. He's going to look at you and say, I created you to serve me. You lived for 43 or 55 or 61 or 80 years. What is it that you did for me? What did you do while you were on the earth to win people to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because there was no other purpose for you being there. Well, Brother Kyle, I had a very stressful job. I didn't give you that stressful job. Well, Brother Kyle, listen, I had so much stuff that I spent so much time trying to pay for all the stuff. Well, you don't need that stuff. You really don't. How many houses do you need? How many cars do you need? Listen, I've got to prepare for retirement. Where do you see anything about retirement in the Bible? The only thing that we are told to do is be a witness for the Lord. And that's the thing that we do the less. What do we do? Look what happens in verse 29. Look at verse 29. And let me find it. Verse 29. Verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip, go join the chariot. When Philip was obedient and went where God told him to go, even though it did not make sense, church, when he got there, it made perfect sense. Brother Kyle, if I could just get an angel to come talk to me, I promise you I'd go. I promise you I'd go. You've got something greater in you. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. And He talks to you every single day. The problem is we're not listening because it doesn't make sense. I was with somebody Friday, and he and I were talking about how amazing God was. And I think I've told y'all this in times past. I'm sure I have. When God called us into the ministry for the first time, it blew my mind how he just laid everything out. We went to this church in Monticello, Kentucky, that they had never had a youth pastor before. And we get there, and we spend the weekend with them, and they showed us the parsonage. We were going to be the youth pastor. We were going to be living in the old parsonage. And we left the old parsonage, and Pat, Amy left, and she said, when we get our tax money back, if they call us and we're going, she said, I want to change the carpet out in the house. I said, well, that's fine. We get in the car, Brother Frank, to leave. We're driving down the road. About a week later, the pastor calls and he says, look, we want to change the carpet in the house. Can you ask your wife what color she wants? It gets better. She said, oh, you know, if they're going to do the carpet, I want to change the linoleum in the kitchen and the bathroom. I said, okay, that's fine. I never thought anything about it. Pastor called me 3 days later. He said, look, he said, we're done with the carpet, and while we were at it, we went ahead and changed the linoleum in the bathrooms and the kitchen. So we're driving. God's called us up to Kentucky. He's called us to Kentucky, and we're on our way. We stop at the rest stop, and I get my wife. She comes up, and I was like, oh, gosh, She said, I just want to let you know. She said, before anybody gets there, we're going to drop the van. We're going to go to Walmart. We're going to get shelf liner. We're going to get all the stuff to supply the house. I said, that's fine. That's fine. We get there about an hour and a half, 2 hours early. The people are already there waiting for us to show up. She says, don't you unload anything. We walk into the house. Every drawer, every closet, everything has got brand new liner in it, and it's stocked to the gills. They even bought a freezer and put meat in the freezer. That's God. Now, this I said all that to say this. Myself and this guy were having this conversation Friday. I'm to the point in my life as a Christian, if it makes sense, I'm running from it. If it fits perfectly like a puzzle piece, well, this makes perfect sense. I think I'll do this. Yeah. No. Hey, I'm to the point in my ministry, Bob, if it doesn't make sense, I'm like, that's it. That's what God wants us to do. We can't afford it. I know God can. Hey, listen, we can't do that. You're right, God can. If it makes no sense, I'm for it. I'm for it. Because that's how God works. Now, church, what is it that God allowed Philip to do? What is it that God allowed Philip to do? Hold on, let me back up. I about missed this point here. So far in this scripture, we've seen Philip listened to God. Then we saw God use Philip when he followed instructions. And then, church, we saw God use Philip in a way Philip probably never imagined. Where did it all start? When Philip listened to God. Church, if we are not listening, we are never going to hear from God. And we're never going to be used by God. It could be that God has spoken to you about doing something in your past, and you did not do what God told you to do. Now you're sitting here this morning saying, thinking, God doesn't speak to me. Why doesn't God speak to me? What is it that I need to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go back and do what he told you to do 3 months ago or 3 years ago. Just listen and follow, even if it does not make sense to you. I'm a part of a group. I'm not going to tell you what group it is, because I know how church people are. Y'all like old refrigerators. Y'all can't keep nothing. But I'm a part of a group. And this group, we sat around and we prayed about certain things. And we were to come back and tell each other what it is we felt God leading us to do. Okay? I prayed, and I truly believe that God led me to say what I said. Well, the individuals that I was with, nope. Well, I'm just waiting for us to have a meeting again. I am. Kenny, I'm waiting for us to have a meeting again. I've got my phone ready. I've got them on speed dial. I'm ready for them to call me. Because when we meet again, and they're like, guys, well, we hadn't done anything in 2 or 3 years. What do you think we ought to do? I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to say, look, I'm going to tell you what we ought to do. We ought to do what God told us to do 2 years ago. What is it that God told you to do that you have not done? That's where you need to start. That's what you need to do. But what is it that God allowed Philip to do? Verse 31, I'm just about done. Verse 31 through 33 tell us that Philip guided the Ethiopian eunuch through a verse of Scripture in the book of Isaiah that spoke of the sufferings of Christ. Church, because Philip listened to God, because Philip followed the instructions of God, God allowed him to guide a man to understanding Scripture. But the blessing doesn't end there. Well, Brother Kyle, what's the big deal? How many people have come to you and said, look, I'm having problems understanding this Scripture. Can you show me and help me to understand what it says? That's a big deal. That God has used you as a vehicle to show other people what Scripture is saying. That might look small to you this morning, but that is tremendous. What an honor. But it gets better. Listen. Verse 35 tells us that God allowed Philip to explain to this Gentile man who Jesus was and what it is that Jesus had done for him. we shouldn't take this lightly either. When God opens a door for us to be used and to show somebody in this world how unbelievably blessed we are because the life Christ lived, listen, that's tremendous. It's tremendous. Verse 36 through 37 show us how God allowed Philip to lead this lost man to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know it's sad that most Christians have never done that? They've never led anybody to Jesus. Well, Brother Kyle, I just get scared. I did too. I used to be scared to death of electricity and heights and pretty girls. I'm glad I got over that pretty girl thing. I mean, but you know how I got over those things? I got comfortable with them. I was working with 13,800 volts on a daily basis. I could listen to the hum and tell you how in groove that voltage was. I used to be scared to death of talking to people. Now it's second nature to ask people about their relationship with Jesus. Well, how did you get there, Brother Kyle? I just started. Look, it's just like that song. Put one foot in front of the other. I mean, come on. Just do it. I could go through all the sayings that Nike has. Get on with it. Let's go. Just do it. The reason you're scared is because you're not in practice. It's just like football. If I had played middle linebacker my whole life, Bob, and you tap me on the shoulder and says, look, I want you to go punt the ball for me. What? I don't know how to do that. Well, why not? Why don't you know how to do that? Because I've never done it before. Well, if you go out there and practice and you just keep punting and punting and punting, when they call on you to punt, guess what you'll be able to do? Punt. Just do it, church. Just do it. Verse 38 and 39 tell us how Philip the deacon turned evangelist was given the honor of baptizing this man who just minutes ago was lost and on his way to hell. But now he was coming out of the waters of baptism. How can this be, church? Why did God choose to use Philip? Because God knew Philip was listening to him. But it gets better. Brother Frank, it gets better. It gets one more better. Verse 40 tells us that God was not finished with Philip. When Philip had completed the task completely, with no questions asked, God thought to himself, I like this man, Philip. I think I'm going to use him again. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 40. Verse 40 says, Philip appeared and asked us, and passing through, he was evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. God wasn't done using him. What did he start off being? A Christian. He started off being a basic Christian, just like all of us. But he didn't stop there. I believe Philip was a praying man. And I believe Philip prayed, God, please use me. God, please use me. God, please use me. God, please use me. And eventually God used him. And when God told Philip to do something, Philip listened and he did it, even when it didn't make sense, church. And he continued to use him. Church, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means first that you understand that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. As James said, show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith through my works. Being a Christian means that you can hear God, and when you hear him speak, you listen and follow even when it doesn't make sense. If you will allow God to use you for his glory, you will see his blessings. It may be that some of you need to come down to this altar this morning and pray that God would speak to your heart once again. You know, I'm going to say something that I've never said here before in this church. And it's going to sound cruel, and I'm not meaning to be cruel, but it's in all honesty. You know, there's some of you that I've never seen down here at this altar. And I often wonder, as I sit in my office as your pastor, if it's the reason I've never seen you down here at this altar is because you don't have nothing to say to God. Church, listen to me. God created you to serve Him from the top of your head to the tips of your shoes. And if you're not doing something for Him, Scripture says your faith is useless. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this is your time. These are your people. This is your invitation. God, I pray that you would be with each one of us, from our children to our senior adults, to our college age, our high school age, to our middle age. God, penetrate our hearts and show us exactly what this Scripture is telling us. Show us who we are, God, what we could be, what you want us to be, and what we ought to be for you. God, our life is to give you glory. And so right now, God, during this time of prayer, show each and every one of us if our lives are bringing glory to you. God, be with this time of invitation. And if there's somebody here who doesn't know you, I pray that they'll come down this aisle and learn who you are and accept you as their Savior. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?